So is Donald Trump truly a peacemaker? Something to think about is Benjamin Netanyahu has nominated him for the Nobel Peace Prize. Let's talk about this with Anthony Russo, political analyst, a social media influencer, our guest here on News Radio WRVA. We'll talk about Bibi Netanyahu's trip to the White House and whether Donald Trump can broker a peace deal between Iran and Israel. Anthony Russo, good morning. How are you? Welcome to News Radio WRVA.
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. All right. Give me your thoughts when you see Benjamin Netanyahu stand up. He hands a piece of paper across the table and he tells Donald Trump, Mr. President, I've just nominated you for the Nobel Peace Prize. What went through your mind?
God, you just got to love when they fluff each other's ego, you know? You know, Bibi is at that point, and I am, just to be totally honest, I'm a Jewish American. I'm half Jewish, half Italian. And I, over the last few years, I've lost a lot of respect for Bibi and Netanyahu, and I look at kind of the corruption in Israel. Now, with that said, I am a big supporter of Israel over Hamas. But I think the dealings and the way that things have gone back and forth have been the typical governmental corruption that we see across the world. And I think that this is just another, all right, Trump, what are you going to do for us? And trying to get America more and more involved in this war that I think that we should be avoiding. Granted, if this is a peace meeting, a truly brokering of peace, then more power to it. But I again, at this point, I won't be fooled a 14th time until it's actually done and taken care of and they have found a solution.
What solution would you put out there if they came to you and asked?
You know, I actually like the current proposal. My perfect solution is something that's not even on the table, which is release the rest of the hostages from Hamas to Israel. That should have been done a long time ago. But say that they do it in the 50 days, I think, which is the goal at this point, releasing all the deceased and living hostages staggered in 50 days. And at that point, the Palestinians are allowed to govern themselves, but Israel is in charge of any military or safety operations in that region. I think that would be the way that it would work. Now, the big question is, and I know there's a lot of people that are skeptical of this plan, the question is, do they have something in place for after these 50 days? Some people say there isn't. Some people say that they've got the how after 50 days will work out, because the people that are skeptical are saying, well, if there's nothing set in stone on exactly how this is going to work, the war is just going to resume on day 51. So in a perfect world, on day 50, they've got a plan to carry it out from here. Israel maintains security of the region, and the Palestinians get to govern themselves. I'm best with that option.
Now, you're best with that option, and I hear people go back and forth. Well, maybe it's a two-state solution, but Hamas and the people of the Palestinians have never agreed that we could have two states. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of different people, a lot of different ideas, a lot of people have a lot of different opinions, and there's not a lot of consensus amongst any of them.
Correct, and every time they get to the table, they make a half-witted agreement without any kind of, and here's the problem with America not getting involved, even though I believe we shouldn't be. I think that's the correct way to do it. When we're not involved, you've got two countries that are both ideologically so far apart that when it comes to actually figure things out on their own and deal with the end of what with a ceasefire would be, they don't know how to do it. They're so far apart that's the issue. So America has to be involved to broker the deal, which is essentially what Netanyahu is saying today. He's like, well, you know, as long as Trump is brokering this, we're in good shape. The question becomes, can they actually figure out the two-state solution? Now, it's a modified two-state solution because, as I said, they want to dismantle Hamas, which means there would be no military operations for the Palestinians, which means the Palestinians would have to somehow think that the Israelis are going to respect their ability to govern themselves, which, again, that's going to be questionable. It's messy. It's the Middle East. It's been continuing on and on for hundreds, if not thousands, probably more than thousands of years. The question is, can there be something to put a little patchwork on the what has gone on since October and even October of 2022? And 2023, since October of 2023, and essentially since then. I'm sorry, before then. It's just, it's a messy situation, and let's see if at least we can put some kind of pause on what's going on with the help of Donald Trump today.
It's very interesting because it seems like we're looking for a perfect solution from imperfect inputs, which means I don't know if I can ever find a perfect solution. Like you said, this has been going on for eternity, it seems like. What is, in your opinion, what does Israel need from the United States? What does the United States need from Israel?
A very loaded question, but a good one at that. What the Israeli government needs from the U.S. is verbal support, and this is very touchy. It needs the U.S. to say, we will intervene if this is not accomplished by both parties, which is essentially what Netanyahu has been wanting this whole time. Look, if they don't give us back our hostages, we want the U.S. to say that they're going to do something militarily. So that's what Netanyahu is probably going to be begging for today with the whole, hey, I've nominated you for the Nobel Peace Prize type thing. That might be the direction he needs. He needs the American military and Trump to say, if you don't, we will. But at the same token, I don't want us to get involved in any way, shape, or form. Now, the question is, because of what we just did in Iran, do our words carry more weight? And I think that that's what we're going to be looking for today. And there's a possibility that if Trump, it could be a complete bluff, and it could work because of what was just done in Iran with the missile sites. I'm curious to see what happens. But I think that is going to be the play for Israel. They're going to say, look, you tell them to do this. You have our backs. You say it on the global stage. And then trust me, it'll get done. And honestly, I think at that point, it probably will get done. Now, the question is, what happens if Hamas calls Trump's bluff? Then he has to be a man of his word. And that's not where I want to be.
No, I don't think anybody wants to be there. Anthony Russo joining us right now, political analyst, as we talk about Bibi Netanyahu's visit to the White House, the nomination of Donald Trump by the Prime Minister of Israel for a Nobel Peace Prize, second world leader to send that letter to the Nobel Committee saying that Donald Trump has been a man of peace. I have a question. And again, I'm an amateur historian looking back at conflicts throughout history. With the U.S. so involved with Israel, what would happen if the U.S. retreated back and took more of an isolationist approach in the Middle East and just gave the verbal backing of Israel, but not the might of the U.S. military? What would happen in the region?
Well, I mean, that's kind of where we've been for the last few decades. Where would we be if we backed up even more?
The reason I ask that, because a lot of people, and again, you go back and look at history, somebody's going to fill that vacuum. If the U.S. backs out of the Middle East in that sphere of influence and says, listen, you guys leave it to yourselves, there would be a vacuum. Who would fill that vacuum?
Well, it depends on the countries. Obviously, Iran's not going to be filling the vacuum for Israel, but I think if the U.S. steps off the gas pedal, I guess you could say, is Iran would be taking over any of the enemy countries to Israel. They'd be continuing to fill Hamas and different parts of the region that are anti-American, death to the West, all that stuff. In terms of Israel, I think the thing is, Israel, though such a small country, they hold so much power and they have a lot of resources. So I think that, I mean, they have a decent relationship with Russia, oddly enough. I honestly don't know. That's a great question. And the thing is, we are the plug that fills the hole in the boat out there. And if we were to completely, and I think this is where a lot of people go wrong. They're like, we need to completely pull out of the Middle East. We have so much intelligence based off of our positioning with Israel, what we do in India and all the different areas out there, that we can't. If we do that, then we are at risk of complete knowledge and intelligence blackout. But if we were to, I think Iran would continue to take over on a larger level, larger scale. I think Saudi Arabia would be a country that could be our, I guess, eyes and ears in some ways, because we're financially invested there. but it would be a very confusing situation, even more so than it already is in the Middle East, if we were to completely withdraw our support.
It is so complicated. It goes back so long, and I go back to the Marshall Plan and William Lahey, who was the chief of staff, to Truman saying, hey, listen, if we back this plan for the creation of Israel, the locals will be upset, and it's something we need to keep in mind. He was overruled by General Marshall as part of the Marshall Plan, the Reconstruction, and it has been a quandary that people have gone over and over and over ever since. And this has been a fascinating conversation, Anthony. I'd love to have you back on the program and continue this.
No problem. Let me know.
Thank you so much. Anthony Russo, political analyst, joining us here on News Radio WRVA.